Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So the first of the star-studded shows heading our way this coming season has opened. It is McNeil at Lincoln Center, starring recent Oscar winner Robert Downey Jr. Now, he is excellent in this piece, which is written by Pulitzer winner Iyad Akhtar. That's the man who wrote Disgraced and some other good works. Now, McNeil is beautifully, if occasionally too cutely staged, let me say, and the subject is something I assume he never wants to happen to him. Yes, it is AI, artificial intelligence, and how it's likely going to change all of our lives. The play is a combo platter of various relationships, including stealing from those we may have loved. But that's not enough. Be warned, this one includes suicide, addiction, thievery, and more. And in the end, I dare say, feels more confusing than provocative. Andrea Martin plays his agent very well, by the way. The cast is all fine. The reviews have been largely negative, but I suspect Downey's appearance will be enough to keep the show up for a while. Now, continuing on the subject of big names on Broadway or on our stages, coming up are Julianna Margulies, Peter Gallagher, Denzel Washington, and Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, and a guy named Clooney? Yeah. The big names are behind the scenes as well. This season, we have had Hillary Clinton and Angelina Jolie as Tony Award-winning producers. And here comes Margot Robbie. Yep, she will be producing a play, no, not about Barbie, but with Marla Mandela, I hope I get that name right, whose musical Titanic, has been a downtown stage hit. Well, her latest is called The Big Gay Jamboree. It's in previews, and that's where Robbie's company comes in. She's producing it. Unlike Titanic, which is an obvious spoof of the blockbuster film, Jamboree is an elaborately staged show about wanting to leave the world of musicals. Anyway, that opens in about a week. And here is another name. It's just been announced that Andrew Scott will play every role in a one-man version of Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya off-Broadway in 2025. Vanya will begin performances at the Lucille Lortel Theater in March. That's where Oh Mary was playing. Boy, they've had a good year or two. The adaptation is by Simon Stevens, the Tony Award-winning playwright of The Curious Case of the Dog in the Nighttime. This production won Best Revival at the Olivier Awards in England. "I love this masterpiece of a play," said Scott in a statement. "I couldn't be more thrilled to bring Vanya to the audiences at the Lortel Theater." Now, Vanya has had a star-attracting moment, I might say. Steve Carell did it at Lincoln Center a few months ago. Unless you need reminding, Andrew Scott is Irish-born and gained a widespread recognition for screen roles in Sherlock and Fleabag. Sexy Priest, does that ring a bell? Most recently, he appeared in All of Us Strangers and Netflix's Ripley, which made a lot of noise. I suggest you get your tickets for this one yesterday. Yeah. Meanwhile, the action off-Broadway continues. I caught up with The Ghost of John McCain downtown, a romp about the late great senator ending up in Donald Trump's brain. Well, sort of, along with a motley group of other well-known names. We are in the brain or in hell or in purgatory. It doesn't matter. This is not great theater, but I and the, shall we say, mature-aged audience laughed out loud a lot. In a way, this is kind of like a very long sketch on Saturday Night Live. The performers switch roles and outfits so fast, they deserve awards for that alone. These are talented young folks, and sometimes, like I felt on a rainy, gray Saturday afternoon last week, you were just ready to laugh. Even, well, especially at a Joe Biden mimic. The Ghost of John McCain is playing at the tiny Soho Playhouse. Not the most glamorous venue, but you'd be surprised how many good things have emerged there. And I caught the Goldberg Variations, not the opera, not the ballet, but a play by George Tabori at the always interesting, progressively bent Theater for the New City, TNC, it's affectionately known. There is anti-Semitism, post-Holocaust material in Goldberg Variations, I think. And it is sort of a comedy, I believe. this one won't be for everyone. I saw it with a very small audience, which never helps the experience. But the actors work hard. And I have to mention one who commands the stage, Dana Watkins. He's beyond charismatic, so let's remember that name. Now, you know, I also discuss books occasionally. A new one called Salinger's Soul by Stephen Shepherd is yet another take on the man behind Catcher in the Rye, which continues to sell some 200,000 copies every year. It's up to 65 million, I believe. I guess that rebellious teen named Holden, who could smell a phony a mile away, never gets old. This is a nice read about an endlessly fascinating man, ultimately a recluse in New England. His war experience was more than I knew, for sure. His religious choices, odd, to say the least. And I won't even go into the women in his life, or I should say girls. Anyway, on a very different note, I am currently reading Miss May Does Not Exist, about the great comedian, actress, writer, director, Elaine May. It is fascinating, and if you really want to understand the core of improvisation, what she and Mike Nichols made famous on Broadway and beyond, well, you will enjoy this one. The book is also very much about how talented and funny female performers have always had a tougher road than their male counterparts. There are so many names and so many fascinating stories in this one. Matter of fact, I saw Elaine May recently at an event at Sardi's. She's now in her early 90s and still hilarious. Only she could make an ongoing joke about a menu, but she did. One thing about memoirs, they do inspire you to go back to the subject's works, which I have done. And now let's remember another great woman of the stage who passed away this week, Dame Maggie Smith. Now, many think of her from television series like Downton Abbey and movies like The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie. But like so many Brits, it all started on the stage, though not so much our stages. After her Broadway debut in the review New Faces of 1956, she stayed away for almost two decades. Returning in 1975, she played in Noel Coward's Private Lives. That's the one about a divorced couple who reconnect while honeymooning with their second spouses. She then appeared in Tom Stoppard's Night and Day in 1979, I believe, as a mining magnate's unhappy wife. She received Tony nominations for both of those. And in Lettuce and Lovage in 1990, Miss Smith played a tour guide who makes up outrageous and vastly entertaining lies about the old houses she shows people through their homes. Critic Frank Rich at the time said, Miss Smith's personality so saturates everything around her that, like the character she plays, she instantly floods a world of gray with color. Well, this is idiosyncratic theater acting of a high and endangered order, he said. That is true. That performance won her a Tony for Best Actress in a Play. And in a week of famous people leaving us, including Kris Kristofferson, baseball great Pete Rose, Broadway suffered a shock. Tony Award winner Galvin Creel, who launched his celebrated Broadway career as Jimmy Smith in Thoroughly Modern Millie, and whose stage credits included She Loves Me, Hello Dolly, and Into the Woods. God, I saw him in that revival last year. He was unbelievable. Anyway, he died at home in Manhattan on September 30th. His death was confirmed by his partner, Alex Temple Ward. He had been diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of sarcoma in July, receiving treatment at Memorial Sloan Kettering before moving to hospice care at home. Gavin Creel was just 48. Anyway, let's count our blessings. And I'm off to six shows in the next 5 days. And if I'm still awake, I will see you here next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.